Welcome to Your Deep Dive. Today we're going to be tackling Alan Moore's Watchmen.
Oh, nice.
But with a specific focus.
Okay.
On the character Rorschach.
Mm-hmm.
And we're using this online conversation between two fans, Sulix and Carcat, as like a jumping off point.
Okay.
And what's so interesting about this conversation is that
yeah.
they have very different takes on his morality, his motivations, even his ultimate fate.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see
right.
how Watchmen, decades after it was published,
oh, yeah.
continues to spark these debates yeah. and these really passionate responses.
What I think is so fascinating about Watchmen and Rorschach in particular
yeah.
is that it doesn't give us any easy answers.
Right.
It presents these characters that are flawed and they're grappling with these huge moral dilemmas.
Yeah.
And it really forces us mm-hmm. to confront our own values
right.
and our own beliefs in the process.
From the start, Cossack seems really captivated by Rorschach. He calls him the most moral character in the story.
Right.
I found that a bit surprising, honestly.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
considering Rorschach's brutal methods and uncompromising worldview.
Yeah, Sulix seems to be drawn to Rorschach's, like, unwavering adherence to his principles.
Okay.
Even when those principles lead him to kind of extreme actions,
yeah.
he sees that as integrity, that yeah. unwavering commitment, even when it's, like,
hey.
A huge uphill battle.
Yeah.
He even compares his death to a Tehima-like
right.
noble sacrifice.
Okay.
So he's really viewing him as this kind of tragic hero, a man willing to die for his beliefs,
right.
even if they are flawed.
Okay, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
But Carcat has a very different view.
Right.
Carcat points out that Rorschach's actions often contradict his stated beliefs.
Uh-huh.
He calls him a hypocrite, which honestly,
I
kind of see.
I get it.
What are some of the examples that he uses to support that argument?
Well, he brings up some pretty compelling examples.
Yeah.
One that stood out to me was Rorschach's defense of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Oh, wow.
What's so striking is that he uses the same logic as Ozymandias.
Right.
The villain of the story.
Right.
Who believes that sacrificing a few to save many is justifiable.
That's a great point. I never really connected those two before.
Yeah.
You're right. It's a disturbing parallel.
Right. It makes you wonder if his idea of justice
yeah.
is so different from Ozymandias' idea of peace.
Right.
Yeah.
Does that mean Sulix is totally wrong to see him as this moral figure?
Well, I don't think it's about right or wrong.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that there's a lot of complexity
mm-hmm.
and contradiction within the character.
Yeah.
Sulix might argue that even with these hypocrisies,
yeah.
he's still striving for a just world,
okay.
even if his methods are flawed.
Right.
And remember, Sulix seems drawn to his commitment.
Okay.
His refusal to compromise.
Carcat doesn't stop there. He digs even deeper into Rorschach's hypocrisy.
Yeah.
He brings up stuff like his friendship with the former villain Moloch.
Right.
Even his positive views on Nixon.
Yeah.
Who's a pretty controversial figure in the Watchmen universe.
Exactly. And that further challenges this idea of
yeah.
Rorschach as this purely righteous figure.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests that he's driven by more
right.
than just abstract principles,
so,
that maybe there are personal motivations and complexities at play.
So what does Sulix say to that?
Yeah.
Does he acknowledge these inconsistencies?
Interestingly, Sulix doesn't see these as evidence of hypocrisy at all.
Oh, wow.
He views them as humanizing.
Okay.
Adding depth and nuance. The character.
So he's saying Rorschach's flaws make him compelling?
It's like his imperfections
yeah.
make him feel more real, more relatable.
Yeah.
Even if we don't agree with his actions, it's almost like we're watching a tragic figure struggle to reconcile his ideals
right.
with the realities of the world.
What do you think? Do you think he's onto something there?
I think Sulix raises an important point.
Okay.
About how we interpret these flawed figures.
Yeah.
Are we looking for perfection?
Right.
Or are we willing to accept this complexity and contradiction?
That's a good point.
It's a question that applies to how we understand real people as well.
Yeah. We're all a mix of good and bad.
Right.
But Carcat really zeroes in on this one particular scene.
Yeah.
That he thinks is key to understanding Rorschach.
Uh-huh.
It's when he lies in a Rorschach test.
Right. That scene is incredibly significant.
Okay.
Because it really seems to contradict his whole black and white worldview.
Right.
He's constantly going on and on about truth and justice.
Yeah.
But we see him here manipulating the system.
Yeah.
To get what he wants.
He claims to see the world in absolutes.
Yeah.
Yet he's willing to lie. To bend the truth when it suits him.
Right.
It's like he fails his own test.
That's a great way to put it.
Right.
What does this reveal about him? Is he hypocritical?
Right. Or is there something deeper going on?
It challenges our assumptions about him.
Right.
We can't take his words at face value anymore.
Right.
We got to look beyond the mask and try to understand the motivations for his actions.
Exactly.
But as an expert in psychology, what does this scene suggest to you about Rorschach's inner world?
Okay.
What's going on beneath that tough exterior?
It's fascinating because it offers us a glimpse into his vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests that beneath that rigid, uncompromising persona, there's this huge well of trauma and hidden emotions.
So the mask, it's like a symbol of his identity, but also a shield to protect him from the pain of the world.
Exactly. And the lie becomes a defense mechanism.
Okay.
He's manipulating the test to control the narrative,
mm-hmm.
to make sure he ends up in a place he feels safe, even if that place is a prison cell.
Wow, that's a really thought-provoking interpretation.
It's a fascinating paradox.
I never thought of it like that, but it makes sense.
It seems like this Rorschach test scene is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to understanding this complex character.
Absolutely. And I think Karkat's interpretation of this scene opens up a whole new avenue to explore.
Mm-hmm.
It compels us to go deeper into his psyche.
Yeah.
To understand the forces that shaped him.
Okay.
And to think about the psychological implications of his actions.
We've spent a lot of time unpacking Rorschach's character, which is interesting. But I'm really intrigued by Karkat's take on the comedian.
Yeah.
And how he connects him to this much larger theme.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about that?
Karkat's analysis of the comedian is fascinating.
Okay.
Because he sees him as this representation of American identity.
Right.
And he suggests that his death signifies this death of nationhood.
Wow, that's a pretty bold claim.
Yeah.
How does he connect a fictional character like that to something as complex as American identity?
He draws attention to the comedian's internal contradictions, like the clash between his cynical, violent, public persona and the glimpses we see of his vulnerability and humanity in private moments, like his love for Sally Jupiter.
So there's more to him than just the tough guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Karkat suggests that these contradictions mirror the complexities of American identity itself.
Okay.
He sees these parallels between the comedian's conflict and the anxieties a lot of Americans felt during the Cold War.
Right.
It was a time marked by national pride, but also this deep-seated fear.
So he embodies both the swagger and the vulnerability of American identity, the light and the shadow.
Exactly.
That's a powerful interpretation.
It is.
I'm starting to see how these characters, Rorschach and the comedian, might be connected on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
Like they both represent these aspects of a worldview.
Right.
That's challenged and ultimately shattered by the events of the story.
They both embody certain ideals, certain ways of seeing the world
that just aren't sustainable in the face of a changing reality.
This brings us to another point of contention between Solix and Karkat.
Right.
The interpretation of Rorschach's death and its impact.
Okay.
So Solix sees Rorschach's death as a deliberate choice, a refusal to compromise his ideals.
He does. He prefers a dignified death over too hameful failure.
But Karkat obviously has a different take.
He does. He sees it as this pointless act of self-destruction.
Okay.
Driven by his fatalistic worldview.
Right.
And his refusal to adapt.
Yeah.
He argues that he died for nothing.
So they're debating whether he had agency in his own demise.
Exact.
Did he choose to die for a cause?
Yeah.
Or was he a victim of his own beliefs?
That's a great way to frame it.
And it raises another question.
Yeah.
What is the nature of legacy?
Oh, interesting.
And how do a character's choices shape their impact on the world?
That is a great question.
It's not just about how they die.
Right.
It's about what they leave behind.
The ripples their actions create.
Yeah.
This brings us to Rorschach's journal.
Yeah.
He mails it before his death.
Right.
It has his account of Ozymandias' plan.
Exactly. And it becomes the symbol of his truth.
Okay.
His unfiltered perspective of what happened.
So would the journal have had the same weight, the same power if he had lived?
That's a great question.
Does dying for a cause make the message stronger?
Yeah.
Or is it pointless?
That's what they're wrestling with.
Right.
Solix says it wouldn't have mattered, that Rorschach himself was more dangerous than the book.
Okay.
Karkat thinks his death gives the journal more weight.
Yeah.
He suggests that John killing him was personal.
Okay.
Which validates the journal even more.
It's like they're debating whether sacrifice works.
Right.
Right.
Does it make the message more powerful?
Yeah.
Or is it ultimately pointless?
Right.
And this gets to the heart of how we interpret the ending.
Mm.
Do we see it as a hopeful message of peace? Or a cynical commentary on resisting power?
These are some heavy questions.
They are.
This just shows how much depth and complexity there is to unpack in Watchmen.
Absolutely.
It's a story that keeps us thinking long after we finish reading it.
Yeah, I think this conversation is a testament to good storytelling.
Yeah.
It doesn't offer easy answers.
Right.
It presents us with this world of moral ambiguity and forces us to confront these difficult truths and wrestle with the consequences of our own beliefs.
So far, we've looked at the ethical and psychological aspects of Rorschach.
Yeah.
And the symbolism of the comedian.
Right.
But Solix and Karkat also have this heated debate about this idea of the death of the author.
It is kind of meta.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
And why is it relevant to our understanding of Watchmen?
Well, the death of the author.
Yeah.
It's a concept that argues that once a work of art is out there,
okay,
it should be judged on its own without considering the author's intentions.
So the story becomes its own entity.
Right.
Open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Even if that contradicts what the author intended.
Exactly.
This is where things get really interesting. And I think we need a moment to unpack this.
Yeah.
And explore how it applies to Watchmen.
Okay, let's do it.
All right.
Let's gather our thoughts and then dive into this death of the author debate.
Okay, so we're back and ready to tackle this death of the author concept.
Yeah.
It's a bit heady, but I think it's crucial to understanding this debate around Watchmen.
It is. Think about it this way.
Okay.
Imagine looking at a painting.
Mm-hmm.
You might be moved by the colors or the composition,
yeah,
the emotions it evokes. But does knowing the painter's life story really change how you see the art itself?
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
The painting exists separate from the painter's intentions.
Exactly.
It's up to the viewer to find their own meaning.
Right. And Solix takes a very strict stance on this.
Okay.
He thinks Watchmen should be analyzed just based on the text itself.
Uh-huh.
And disregard anything that Alan Moore has said about it.
So, like, once the book is out there,
yeah,
it's out of the author's hands.
Right.
It's fair game for any interpretation.
Exactly.
Even ones that contradict the author's original intent.
He's saying it doesn't matter what Alan Moore intended.
Okay.
When he created Rorschach or whatever.
Right.
What matters is how the reader experiences it, the meaning they get from it.
Okay. I can see how that allows for a lot of freedom of interpretation.
Yeah.
But Karkat, as usual, has a different take.
Of course.
He thinks that ignoring the author's perspective is missing something important.
He does.
Yeah.
He thinks that understanding Alan Moore's background,
okay,
his views, his politics, his philosophy, is really important to understanding the nuances of Watchmen.
Okay.
He calls Solix's approach too silly.
So he's saying that context matters.
Right.
Knowing what the author was trying to say can deepen our understanding. It's like if you're reading a historical novel.
It helps to know something about the history.
Exactly. And in this case,
yeah,
knowing that Alan Moore was really critical of authoritarianism,
okay,
the dangers of unchecked power,
yeah,
can help us understand how he portrays characters like Ozymandias and even Dr. Manhattan.
It's like we're not just reading words.
Right.
We're engaging with the author's mind.
Exactly.
Trying to understand their ideas.
Yes. And that brings us to a really interesting question.
Okay.
The challenge of interpreting art from a different time.
Right.
Watchmen was written during the Cold War,
uh-huh,
a time of huge paranoia, nuclear anxiety.
Yeah.
Does that affect how we read it today?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Do we judge them by the standards of their time?
Right.
Or our own?
Exactly.
I mean, some of the themes like vigilantism,
uh-huh,
the ethics of power,
yeah,
they're still relevant.
Totally.
But the world's changed since the 80s.
Right. And that's where this death of the author thing gets tricky.
Okay.
On the one hand, we want to respect the author's vision,
yeah,
and understand it in its context, but we also bring our own experiences to it.
Right.
So how do we find that balance?
Yeah.
Is there a right way to approach this?
Right.
Considering all that.
I don't think there's one right answer.
I don't either.
Okay.
It's more about being aware of the different ways to interpret it.
Yeah.
It's like you can appreciate a vintage car,
uh-huh,
without agreeing with the design choices.
Right. So recognizing that a work of art can have multiple meanings
exactly.
and resonate yeah. differently with different people.
Exactly.
And that's what makes this so fascinating.
Yeah.
It keeps evolving with each reader.
In each generation,
mm-hmm.
it's like this dialogue
yeah.
to challenge what we think and find our own meaning.
That's a great point. The story becomes a conversation.
Yeah.
Not just between the author and reader.
Right.
But between readers.
Right. Like Solix and Karkat.
Yeah.
They're both passionate about this, but they see it so differently.
And that's okay.
Right.
It makes it more interesting.
It shows there's room for multiple perspectives.
Yeah.
You can disagree and still love the story.
But what are some of the pitfalls
yeah.
of focusing too much on the author's intent?
Yeah.
Could it limit our understanding?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It highlights one of the criticisms
okay.
of Death of the Author.
Right.
Some say if we're too focused on what the author meant,
yeah.
we might miss other valid readings.
So we're trying to read their mind.
Right.
And yes. we forget to engage with the story ourselves.
And that's especially a problem with something as complex as Watchmen.
Yeah.
There's so many themes and interpretations.
Right.
It would be sad to limit ourselves.
So you're saying we should be open.
Yes.
Even to ideas different from the authors.
Absolutely.
It's about respecting the work itself.
Exactly.
Not just the author's authority.
And that's what makes art so powerful.
Yeah.
It goes beyond individual intentions and becomes this shared thing, a conversation across generations.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
But Karkat said that understanding Alan Moore's views can actually help us.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Alan Moore is an anarchist.
Okay.
And his work often looks at power and corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that helps us see why he might portray Rorschach
yeah.
as flawed and tragic.
So Moore's using Rorschach to critique a certain ideology.
Exactly. Yeah. One that can't work in a complex world.
And this is where the author's context helps.
Right.
Not telling us what to think.
Right.
But giving us another layer of insight. We're not just passively reading.
Oh.
We're asking questions, thinking critically.
Yes.
Doing research on the context.
And that's what makes Watchmen so rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
It demands our attention.
Right.
Our thinking, our willingness to look at these tough questions.
And Solix and Karkat are a great example of that.
Yeah.
They're both passionate.
They are.
But they see it through different lenses.
And that's what makes the discussion so great.
Yeah.
Shows there's no one right way.
Right.
It's open to lots of readings.
That's part of its power.
It is.
So for our listener who's new to all this,
yeah.
what's the takeaway?
Be curious. Be open-minded.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to challenge your assumptions.
Yeah.
Read the story. Research the author.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to other fans and trust your gut.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
It's about finding your own path.
Yeah.
Your own meaning. In this complex world.
Exactly.
I'm noticing we've talked a lot about intent and interpretations.
Yeah.
But we haven't talked about Rorschach's ending.
Right.
It's a huge part of the book.
It is.
It's iconic. It's debated.
Yeah, I think there's a reason they don't go into it too much.
Okay.
They're respecting the ambiguity.
Yeah.
The power of that moment.
It's like they're inviting us to figure it out.
Exactly.
To come to our own conclusions.
Yeah. And that's what we'll do in the last part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll confront that ending.
Yeah. And look at the different ways to understand it. Hi, deep divers. Get ready. We're going into the heart of Watchmen.
Yeah.
Where the lines between hero and villain blur and the meaning of sacrifice is always up for debate. Okay, deep divers, we're back. And we're facing that moment. You've probably been waiting for Rorschach's death. It's brutal. It's ambiguous. It sparks so much debate.
Yeah, it really encapsulates everything about the book.
Yeah.
The nature of truth, compromise, can absolute morality even exist?
It all comes down to this standoff between Rorschach and Dr. Manhattan.
Right.
Rorschach refuses to compromise. He demands that the truth comes out.
Yeah.
Even if it destroys the peace.
Rorschach's challenging Dr. Manhattan's new understanding.
Right.
Remember, Jung's seen all of time and space now?
Yeah.
He sees humanity as this fragile thing.
So you're saying Rorschach's black and white view clashes with Jung's?
Exactly. For Rorschach, there's no middle ground.
Okay.
Justice has to happen no matter what.
Yeah.
But for John, it's more complicated.
Right.
He sees humanity's potential for good and bad.
But why does he kill Rorschach?
Right.
The journal's already been sent.
Yeah.
Couldn't he just stop him another way?
That's the question. And I think Alan Moore leaves it open for us.
Okay.
On the surface, it's a necessary evil to keep the peace.
But symbolically, it's deeper.
Right.
So let's look at those symbolic meanings.
Okay.
What are some ways we can understand John's decision?
One way is to see it as mercy.
Okay.
John sees the future. He knows Rorschach can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
Letting him live would just torture him.
So John's freeing him.
Yeah, from his own morality.
But it's still cold, right?
It is. John doesn't even think twice.
Yeah.
He just does it.
And that makes us question John's humanity.
Exactly.
Like he's lost his empathy.
Some say it shows how detached he's become.
Right, as he's become more powerful.
Yeah.
He's lost touch with what makes us human.
Like our feelings, our beliefs, even our flaws.
And Rorschach, in his own way, represents those.
That's a great point.
And that gets to the heart of Watchmen.
Yeah.
The struggle between power and morality.
Ideals versus what actually works.
This is all really heavy stuff.
It is.
But Watchmen isn't just bleak.
Oh, no. There's beauty in it, too.
Yeah.
Humanity, even hope.
Rorschach's death is tragic.
Yeah.
But it shows the power of conviction.
He might be wrong, but he believes it.
Yeah.
And he dies for it. That's kind of heroic.
Even if it's tragic.
Right. So how do we balance these ideas?
Yeah. He's both good and bad.
The key is accepting the ambiguity.
Okay.
Watchmen doesn't give us simple answers.
Okay.
It makes us think for ourselves.
Question what we believe.
See that there's more than one side.
It's like that Rorschach test.
Exactly.
The meaning changes depending on who's looking.
And that's why this book is so great. It keeps us thinking long after we're done.
And this death of the author idea supports that.
Right. Alan Moore had his intentions.
Yeah.
But it's up to us to decide what it means.
So for our listener,
yeah.
After all this, what should they be thinking about as they reread?
Embrace the complexity. Don't look for easy answers.
Okay.
Engage with the story, the moral questions.
Mm-hmm.
Trust yourself. There's no one way to see it.
That's what makes it so powerful.
It is. Here's a final question.
Okay.
If Watchmen were written now,
yeah.
How would it be different?
Right. In our world today.
Would Rorschach still work?
In a world that's not so black and white.
That's worth thinking about.
It shows how relevant Watchmen still is.
It makes us think about power and choices.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
It's been a wild ride.
It has.
We hope this made you curious.
And inspired you to revisit Watchmen.
With new eyes.
Happy reading, everyone. And remember, the conversation keeps going.